An alle Aufsichtspersonen. Verteilen Sie jetzt die Aufgabenbogen für die BMP im Fach Englisch. Die Prüfung beginnt in einer Minute. An die Kandidatinnen und Kandidaten. Beschriften Sie jetzt das Deckblatt der Prüfung. Achtung! Lesen Sie die Aufgaben erst, wenn der englische Text beginnt. Berufsmaturität Wirtschaft 2022. Englisch Serie A und B. Sie können jetzt zur ersten Aufgabe gehen. This part of the examination consists of two different listening comprehension tasks. There will be pauses before and after each task to give you time to read the questions and to check your answers. You will hear each task twice. Task 1. Old People's Home. In the first part of the test, you will hear a girl called Laya telling other students at her school about a recent summer job in an old people's home in their town. As you listen, fill in the gaps 1 to 11 in the notes below. In some gaps, more than one word is necessary for a complete answer. You now have 60 seconds in which to look at task 1. Ready?
Hi everyone, my name's Laya, as most of you know. And last summer I worked for 3 weeks as a care assistant at the Cedars Old People's Home on the edge of town. Some of you may know it. Just before the roundabout, near the big Morrison supermarket. Mrs. Davies, our careers advisor, recommended being a care assistant because I want to train as a nurse when I leave school. Yeah, as I said, the Cedars is that big old white house on the left, just before the Morrison's roundabout. I was told that the Cedars was originally a farmhouse, but it has been enlarged and changed so much since it became a care home that you would never guess. Anyway, one thing that surprised me a bit was that the old folk, the residents of the home, said that they actually liked the fact that the Cedars was on a busy road, because then they have more to watch from the windows of the sitting room and dining rooms at the front of the house, where they spend quite a lot of their time. In the summer, they can even sit in the garden in front of the house, and sometimes even speak to people passing by. You know, I had assumed elderly people just wanted peace and quiet all the time, but that's really not true. They can get terribly lonely, in fact, and so that's why they like the old people's home being in town, and not miles out in the countryside. And for sure, they really enjoyed having me around to talk to them. The building itself, which is a privately run care home by the way, is quite old, but it's clean and nicely decorated and has obviously had lifts and safety features such as ramps and, you know, extra handrails as you would expect. They have to be installed by law, I suppose, in such places. The bedrooms are fairly small and simple, but as I said, clean and light and comfortable. The residents, the elderly people who actually live there, were great mostly. They liked talking about when they were my age. In fact, the best part of my work was when I served them an evening drink, tea, coffee, or hot chocolate, in the sitting room. And because I didn't have to rush off, because I had time to listen, they would tell me their stories. I suppose they had told all their stories before, but I was new and had time, so I was a good audience. But I knew they really appreciated the time I spent with them. We all had a really good laugh some evenings. Yeah, as I said, they were mostly all really nice, though one or two of the old ladies could be a bit, like, sharp-tongued sometimes. One of these women sometimes said actually quite nasty things to me, apparently because I looked like her daughter-in-law, whom she had never got on with. At least that's what one of the full-time carers told me. The old men were funny. They often tried to get me to buy them extra little treats, like pipe tobacco or sweets from the newsagents down the road for them. And if I did, they were always so grateful. The other permanent members of staff were all really nice to me. To be honest, I was amazed how they treated me as an equal, and that helped me to value my own work, even though I obviously had to ask for advice quite often and did make a few mistakes. Yeah, being appreciated like that motivated me to do my work at the home as well as I could. I'm going back to the Cedars next month because I play the flute, and the manager has invited me to put on a little concert for the residents. If anyone else plays an instrument and would like to join me, please let me know. They'll really appreciate it, I can assure you. Do think about it. Well, I think my time is up, and I think I've said all the main things I wanted to share about my time there. So thank you for listening.
Now listen again and check your answers. Ready?
Hi everyone, my name's Lia, as most of you know. And last summer, I worked for 3 weeks as a care assistant at the Cedars Old People's Home on the edge of town. Some of you may know it. Just before the roundabout, near the big Morrison supermarket. Mrs. Davies, our careers advisor, recommended being a care assistant because I want to train as a nurse when I leave school. Yeah, as I said, the Cedars is that big old white house on the left, just before the Morrison's roundabout. I was told that the Cedars was originally a farmhouse, but it has been enlarged and changed so much since it became a care home that you would never guess. Anyway, one thing that surprised me a bit was that the old folk, the residents of the home, said that they actually liked the fact that the Cedars was on a busy road, because then they have more to watch from the windows of the sitting room and dining rooms at the front of the house, where they spend quite a lot of their time. In the summer, they can even sit in the garden in front of the house, and sometimes even speak to people passing by. You know, I had assumed elderly people just wanted peace and quiet all the time, but that's really not true. They can get terribly lonely, in fact, and so that's why they like the old people's home being in town and not miles out in the countryside. And for sure, they really enjoyed having me around to talk to them. The building itself, which is a privately run care home, by the way, is quite old, but it's clean and nicely decorated, and has obviously had lifts and safety features, such as ramps and, you know, extra handrails as you would expect. They have to be installed by law, I suppose, in such places. The bedrooms are fairly small and simple, but as I said, clean and light and comfortable. The residents, the elderly people who actually lived there, were great mostly. They liked talking about when they were my age. In fact, the best part of my work was when I served them an evening drink, tea, coffee, or hot chocolate, in the sitting room. And because I didn't have to rush off, because I had time to listen, they would tell me their stories. I suppose they had told all their stories before, but I was new and had time, so I was a good audience. But I knew they really appreciated the time I spent with them. We all had a really good laugh some evenings. Yeah, as I said, they were mostly all really nice, though one or two of the old ladies could be a bit, like, sharp-tongued sometimes. One of these women sometimes said actually quite nasty things to me, apparently because I looked like her daughter-in-law, whom she had never got on with. At least that's what one of the full-time carers told me. The old men were funny. They often tried to get me to buy them extra little treats, like pipe tobacco, or sweets from the newsagents down the road for them. And if I did, they were always so grateful. The other permanent members of staff were all really nice to me. To be honest, I was amazed how they treated me as an equal, and that helped me to value my own work, even though I obviously had to ask for advice quite often and did make a few mistakes. Yeah, being appreciated like that motivated me to do my work at the home as well as I could. I'm going back to the Cedars next month because I play the flute, and the manager has invited me to put on a little concert for the residents. If anyone else plays an instrument and would like to join me, please let me know. They'll really appreciate it, I can assure you. Do think about it. Well, I think my time is up, and I think I've said all the main things I wanted to share about my time there. So thank you for listening.
This is the end of task one. You now have 30 seconds to check your answers. Now turn to task two. Task two, works of art. In the second part of the test, you will hear four different people saying what works of art they would purchase if they want £20,000 to spend on art. For questions 1 to 7, mark the best answer, A, B, or C. You now have 45 seconds in which to look at task two. Ready? Speaker 1.
If I won £20,000, I would get into my car and spend a week or two driving around the English countryside. I would avoid big cities, I think, visiting as many antique shops and even auctions as possible, looking for a really top quality oil painting from the 19th or even 18th century. Obviously, I would need to be careful not to buy a forgery, so it would be important not to buy anything on impulse, but to do as much research as possible on any painting that seriously appeals to me. In that respect, auctions would be great, as they often produce catalogues for the auction, which give information that is generally trustworthy about each item on sale.
Speaker 2.
Well, I can't think of anything nicer than having that amount of money just to spend on art. How wonderful! I already know what I'm going to buy. A collection. A set of drawings I saw at an exhibition by local artist Harrietta Humphreys, which my husband and I attended a few months ago. Who knows, the drawings might be worth millions one day. About 10 years ago, I did purchase a painting quite cheaply by an artist whose works now sell for a couple of thousand or more, but that would not be my sole motivation for buying the Harrietta Humphreys drawings. The drawings just spoke to me somehow. I felt like they were how I see the world. That's why I would buy them, I think.
Speaker 3.
I should mention, perhaps right away, that I am actually a professional in this field. I'm a sort of art middleman. I get catalogues from about 50 smaller local galleries up and down the country. By galleries, I don't mean museums, but shops that display and sell the works of budding local artists, and then sometimes purchase paintings from them. These paintings I then resell at some point at a profit. That's how I make a living. The secret is to buy so-called first works from artists who are often, though not always, still young, but who have begun to gain recognition, but are essentially unknown outside of their locality. You also just need to have a good eye for a painting that you know will appeal to other people. A good rule of thumb is to ask yourself if you could imagine having a painting you buy hanging on the walls of your own home.
Speaker 4.
If I were given a sum of money like that, I personally would buy something eye-catching. Something that everyone would notice, even if they didn't like it. I'd probably go for a statue or sculpture that I would place just inside the front door or possibly outside in the front garden, somewhere prominent, somewhere where it is as if the statue or sculpture is saying, "Look at me." I myself would have to love the piece, of course, and its message. I mean that, in my view, is the only reason why an artist should create a work of art in the first place, and it should also be why anyone buys a work of art. Because they love it so much that they want to share their home with it, they want it to be a part of their life.
Now, listen again and check your answers. Ready? Speaker 1.
If I won £20,000, I would get into my car and spend a week or two driving around the English countryside. I would avoid big cities, I think, visiting as many antique shops and even auctions as possible, looking for a really top quality oil painting from the 19th or even 18th century. Obviously, I would need to be careful not to buy a forgery, so it would be important not to buy anything on impulse, but to do as much research as possible on any painting that seriously appeals to me. In that respect, auctions would be great, as they often produce catalogues for the auction, which give information that is generally trustworthy about each item on sale.
Speaker 2.
Well, I can't think of anything nicer than having that amount of money just to spend on art. How wonderful! I already know what I'm going to buy. A collection, a set of drawings I saw at an exhibition by local artist Harrietta Humphreys, which my husband and I attended a few months ago. Who knows, the drawings might be worth millions one day. About 10 years ago, I did purchase a painting quite cheaply by an artist whose works now sell for a couple of thousand or more, but that would not be my sole motivation for buying the Harrietta Humphreys drawings. The drawings just spoke to me somehow. I felt like they were how I see the world. That's why I would buy them, I think.
Speaker 3.
I should mention, perhaps right away, that I am actually a professional in this field. I'm a sort of art middleman. I get catalogues from about 50 smaller local galleries up and down the country. By galleries, I don't mean museums, but shops that display and sell the works of budding local artists, and then sometimes purchase paintings from them. These paintings I then resell at some point at a profit. That's how I make a living. The secret is to buy so-called first works from artists who are often, though not always, still young, but who have begun to gain recognition, but are essentially unknown outside of their locality. You also just need to have a good eye for a painting that you know will appeal to other people. A good rule of thumb is to ask yourself if you could imagine having a painting you buy hanging on the walls of your own home.
Speaker 4.
If I were given a sum of money like that, I personally would buy something eye-catching. Something that everyone would notice, even if they didn't like it. I'd probably go for a statue or sculpture that I would place just inside the front door or possibly outside in the front garden. Somewhere prominent. Somewhere where it is as if the statue or sculpture is saying, "Look at me." I myself would have to love the piece, of course, and its message. I mean that, in my view, is the only reason why an artist should create a work of art in the first place, and it should also be why anyone buys a work of art. Because they love it so much that they want to share their home with it, they want it to be a part of their life.
This is the end of the listening comprehension test. You may now proceed to complete the remaining parts of the test.